What's up, everybody? What's going on? Welcome back to another episode of I Am Shatoria. We are back, y'all. We are back. And I'm super excited to being back with you guys. So today, I'm really excited about a whole lot of stuff. So first of all, before I even do that, thank you to everyone who is listening to me. If you're listening, I am waving at you saying hello, hello, hello. And then to everyone who is watching me, how you doing? So it is your host, Shatoria Christian. And so of the I Am Shatoria brand. And we are here and we're just having a great time today. So I'm really excited about today as I'm having the opportunity to speak with a young man who is a father and a man of faith. And that's really, really big for me as we don't have too many of those. So today's topic is a man with family and faith. So I cannot wait for you guys to meet him and have a conversation because I promise you it's going to be dope. Okay. With that being said, I have a question for you. What is family? All right. What is family to you? That's a real big question because at the end of the day, everybody do not see family the same. I grew up where I'm used to blended family. But one of the things that I learned being in the military is family is not always blood. And so I've met people where they don't deal with nobody but their blood family. Like ain't no outside nothing. And you know, that's cool. I have been truly blessed to have family that is not blood related. Because again, I grew up blended, but not blood related. But at the same time, I met people in the military who I consider family, like my sisters, my brothers, like we rock together. We go hard. And you're going to see some of those people on these shows too. Like you've had to step out of the comfort of your zone to know and meet people. So that's one of the things that I can't wait to discuss with our guest today about what is family. And, the other thing is what is faith? So, you know, I'm big about that word. Okay. I'm big about that word. You know, so having faith within your family is something we're going to definitely talk about today. So I'm super, super excited, to have that conversation with him. In the meantime though, let's get into what you guys know I like to do. So I do Teacher's Corner, and this time on Teacher Corner, and no, I don't do Teacher Corner every episode, which is quite okay. But Teacher's Corner, the question I have for you today is, what is the limit that teachers should have to deal with? I ask this question because as a teacher, let me tell you, anything that you're called to do is a ministry. Nothing is not by chance. I feel, the time that I was in the military, that was my ministry at that time. That was my purpose at that time. And now that I'm teaching, that is my ministry at that time. So it's really depending on the individual. So what is a limit? And I don't know, we're going to, you know, what is the limit a teacher should go before they be like, you know, ooh. And so the only answer I have is when God tells you you're done. However, we do know some of these kids and their parents will get you there. And that's the unfortunate part of life, because I think there are so many ways communication can be done. And that's one of the things that I'm blessed for. I have communication with a lot of my parents to where I am absolutely honest with them. I don't sugarcoat. I ain't doing none of that. So a lot of people tend not to understand that. And that's fine. I'm not tripping. But a lot of that is an understatement of what teachers go through when we literally don't pay attention. We literally have these conversations and it goes in one out the other. And we also take up for our child with bad behavior. But again, it's perspective on that. And so that's the perspective that we have. All right. So again, I am excited to have the conversation that we're going to have today. We'll get back to Teacher's Corner. But in the meantime, you already know how we get down. Make sure that you know that you can listen to us on all of our wonderful platforms, including YouTube for those that can see. And then those who can hear, you got your Apple, you got your Amazon, you got your iHeart, and you have iamshatoria.podbean.com, where you guys will, you know, get and see. All right. I need you to stand by, and I'll be back with you in 30 seconds to introduce you to our guest. Hope you're ready, because I am ready to talk about the conversation today. Amen. With family and faith. Stand by. All right, all right, all right. So we are back, and I cannot wait for you guys to meet up with our guest for today. I'm really excited about it. So I want to introduce you guys to Reginald Gant Jr. And I'm pretty excited for what he's going to talk about today, as we're going to be talking about serving the community. And again, like I told you, we were talking about men that has faith and family, and we are here serving. All right. So I want to introduce you guys to the one and only Mr. Reginald Grant Jr., or as we call him, Reggie, today.
Please call me Reggie. Shatoria, it's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely, Reggie. So first of all, tell us a little bit about you.
Yeah, great question. Reginald Gant Jr., born and raised here in the Baltimore, Maryland area, East Coast. Proud husband. My wife and I, we have a beautiful blended family. We have 5 children that range in ages from 3 all the way up until 23. And I'm the founder of an organization called Serve for Men, where I help to equip and encourage and empower men, fathers, and husbands, particularly to step up into their leadership roles as the protectors and providers, you know, that God created them to be. So I absolutely love all things that have to do with serving.
Okay. That's been the word for the last couple of weeks. But first of all, y'all, he said he's from Baltimore. So, you know, we're gonna talk about them Ravens like that. It's okay, you know.
Number one in the AFC, only team locked in so far.
Whatever, it's okay.
And, look, and it's so fitting for me, because I'm number one in what I do, and the Ravens are number one in what they do. So it's a perfect fit.
So first of all, I love it, because one thing that you said that I stand on, that I talked about in the beginning segment, is what is family? And so one of the biggest thing is I'm part of a blended family. I grew up in a blended family, and I have a blended family. So I'm really big about what family is. So before we get into your organizations, I think that's going to be something very important for people to know, and also how to be a part of. But give me your Reggie opinion of what family is.
Yeah, family is, I mean, if I could sum it up in one word, it's everything. You know, they have a saying that's FOE, you know, family over everything. At the end of the day, to me, you know, it's a nucleus of individuals who are God appointed in your life, and you know, they're designed to be there through thick and thin. So to me, family doesn't necessarily have to be blood, because you know, we all have friends sometimes that are closer than quote unquote family members. So family members are designed into the fabric of your life, and you are designed into the fabric of their lives, so that you do life together. You know, and that's my definition of family.
Oh, you hit like nail on head for me, because I literally just said that. I was like, no kidding, because I had to learn that when I came in the military, God showed me another connection of family. And mm-hmm. And so one of the things that I'm blessed is that I was open to that, because I know people who is literally, they're like, nah, that's my family right there. You'd be like, but they be like, no, this is family. Like, you got to be blood within the home. And for me, it also shows that we can't expand. But not only we can't expand, we can't serve right. Mm-hmm. And that's the biggest thing. You can't serve your purpose mm-hmm. if you're still in a closed mindset of what you're called to do. Yeah. And if you're not open enough to say, oh man, let me go check out these individuals, then you're going to stay stuck over here and not go nowhere. So I'm really big about family. One of the reasons I retired, because my goal was, I want my family to be in that seat, not just the one that God helped me create, but those individuals who was completely supporting me all these years. So I really appreciate you giving me the instinct that your impact of what is family, what is it, how is it molded? And then, like you said, you have a blended family, which is big. 23-3.
Yeah. We all over the place. We have 4 boys at home right now. our oldest daughter, she's 23. She's the one that's outside the house, you know, and
right.
Beautiful life, you know, busy. And, you know, we're always busy. You know, we got private schools. We got different schools. It's always something to do. But, you know, at the end of the day, I thank God that he chose me, you know, for the responsibility, you know.
That, and that's dope, as a man to take on responsibility. And that's what I want to talk about today when it comes to family and serving. So one of the questions I do have for you, because as you are a supporter, and then we'll get into your company, but how important it is to support your community. You are in Baltimore, and let's be honest, Baltimore is not always heard of.
Yeah, in a positive light, yeah.
Positive way, you know, people like, I'm from Bmore, and I'd be like, ooh. I mean, I've come to Bmore multiple times and been told, don't go over here. Yeah. Don't go over here. Now, I've been to Baltimore where you can be standing over here and it looks totally different than over here. It looks real cute here, but literally across the street.
It's different.
You be like, ooh. And so and it sounds bad, but I don't want to be more by myself.
Well, I love my city. I'm not going to lie. I've been here, you know, 40 plus years. Baltimore, it's two cities, you know, and I believe that may be the same thing for all of our urban cities. You know, you'll have the beautiful parts, the glitz and glamour parts, but you'll also have the parts, like you say, where you have to shy away from. So, you know, it's spectacular. It has great art. It has great history. It has great culture. The people are really amazing, you know, if you really come to know them, you know, which takes time. But for me, you know, serving in the community is critical. You know, as a Black male, as an African American, you know, statistics show that I wasn't really supposed to even make it out of my zip code. You know, I wasn't supposed to see the age of 18. You know, here I am now, 42, going on 43, married, you know, six figures, five children. You know, I lead the ministry at church, you know, and I've been leading in my community for God knows how long at this point. I feel like, and you know, maybe we can kick this around, you know, maybe another day, that when men, especially us, especially Black and brown men, when men step up into their roles and men are positioned and men are changing and leading and influencing, I feel that not only does the home benefit from that, but the immediate community begins to benefit from that as well. So for me, as a Black man in America, you know, one of the most targeted individuals in this country, I have to show up in a manner that's excellent, because I want the next generation to see that there are Black men out there who are loyal to their wives, mm-hmm. who do get married, who do serve in the community, who are successful, and who do all of the things that God has called us to do his way.
That just hit a lot right there. Because I think we tend to forget, I think a lot of people gloss over that. And so as a teacher to minorities, I'm always trying to empower my students, as I am not a male, but as a female, as a mom to a Black son, I let my male students know, look here, Miss Christian ain't got all the answers. However, you are loved, you are honored. I tell my students this because a lot of them are not hearing it anywhere else. I have a couple of males that, man, they tell me, and it gives me heart when they tell me, Miss Christian, you got my heart. And I be like, for real? Yeah. And he'd be the one walking around here huffing tough, ready to fight. You be like, hey, come out. And I have this rule in my classroom. They know Miss Christian don't fight. So y'all can't fight in my space because Miss Christian don't fight. Because if a lock get pulled, a nail get broken, I'm fighting you. And so we have that running joke. But what I love is because they respect me. And their thing is, well, Miss Christian, you ain't even got to be here, but you are. Yeah. You're here. And so I think it's important because, as you said, I work with minority male teachers, and we have plenty of them. As a matter of fact, 1, 2, 3, I think it's 5 of them. I have 5 male Black men.
Okay.
Teaching right now. We got one that teach IT, music, PE, fine arts. No, we have 6. Social studies. No, we have 6. And they are out here. I'm talking about their presence is.
Yeah, it's everything.
It's everything. So I thank you for that understanding of what it is to serve. Because I think, too, the generation that's coming up right now need to see Black men serving.
Yeah.
And we don't have a lot of that. What What traditionally made you go out and want to surf?
Well, you know, I spent a large part of my life, you know, in the former years, you know, when I was a teenager, even into my early 20s, honestly, Shatoria, you know, I had low self-esteem. I didn't have a good sense of self-worth, and it really boiled down to the fact that I did not know who I was. You know, I was going through like what many males go through. Many men are still experiencing that today. Identity crisis, you know, so you don't know who you are. So you begin to look around and you try to emulate what you see around you. But what changed the game for me, you know, your podcast is perfect for me, you know, because it's all about faith and family. When I opened up my book of instruction for daily living, you know, for me, that's the Holy Bible. When I began to learn whose I was, you know, that I was a co-heir with Christ, that I was a king's kid, that I was royalty, that changed the game for me. So I began to think about and care about less of what the world said, and I started to care more about what the Word of God said about me. And that's honestly what inspired me to write, you know, my first couple of books, which were books of affirmation for Black men, for teenagers, you know, for those that had small children, because my children were a little younger at the time. Because I believe how we talk to ourselves, right, the things that we say to ourselves about ourselves eventually dictates what will happen, you know, with ourselves. So affirmations and the Holy Bible are what changed me from the inside out. And now I just do my part to make sure, as you do, you know, that I pour into the next generation so that they can know with a surety who they are.
So with that, I'm really big about affirmations. As a matter of fact, that's something my company stands on. We stand on affirmations. And I like the fact how you make affirmations for young men, because I think we tend to, unfortunately, the generation tends to gloss over, and we don't need that. And I don't need you speaking that, because we have instilled, unfortunately, social media one, society two, and I hate to say it, parents who are still within generational curses have instilled to men, you're not supposed to have feelings. You're not supposed to cry. Yeah. You're not supposed to have no emotions. Yeah. You're punk if you do. Yeah. And then you see them looking at social media and thinking people like Blueface is something to mimic behind. And it's like, I'm confused. Yeah. Like, this is not the generation. I'm 41. Jesus, I'm 41. And I literally just told a friend, coming up, don't get me wrong, boys was being boys, but not to this extent. It went to this extent. It was, you know, it was still a respect level somewhere. Now, as a person who, I love music, I'm a music fanatic, but I don't know these new people. I get in shock when I see my females idolize male rappers that absolutely degrade who they are. And they're like, but their music is good. I'm like, but did you hear their words?
Yeah, are you listening? Yeah.
Are you listening? And so what made you create, so tell us, so to go with that, what made you create, or how was Serve for Men came about? Ooh. And what made it happen?
Well, you know, the organization Serve for Men, honestly, it evolved from a dream from God that I had it around 2009. And I remember waking up. I didn't remember too much about the dream, but I remember the word serve. And in 2009, you know, after I had that dream, the Lord started to whisper in my ear, and he told me that one day I would be a leader of leaders and that I would be a leader of men. Man. And Shatoria, when he told me that in 2009, you know, I just kind of chuckled and I laughed it off, because in 2009, like, personally, my life was a mess. You know, I was a wreck inside and out. I wasn't leading anybody. I definitely wasn't leading any men. And then I just remember one day, you know, over the dinner table in 2019, 10 years removed, you know, from the initial time that I heard. My wife and I, we had just finished up dinner. We were talking with the boys. And the Lord whispered into my ear, and he said, leader of leaders and leader of men. Now, here it was in 2019. Now, you know, I'm leading the men's ministry in church. My wife and I are leading in business. I'm leading in the community. And then I just had to sit there, you know, and you know, I got a little emotional, you know, because I'm like, wow, 10 years ago, I didn't believe you when you said that. I just kind of laughed it off, like, surely you're not talking about me. And here it was a whole decade later, everything that the Lord said, you know, manifested. But I started the organization Serve for Men. We started as a meetup group in person because I believe that all males need a safe space. You know, I'm a husband, I'm a father, but I can't always talk to my wife about every single thing. You know, all of my feelings, all of my emotions, all of the weight that I carry as a male. Sometimes I need to bounce that off of another man, another father, another husband, preferably one who's been there, you know, been there, done that, wore the t-shirt. So I started the organization as a meetup group, you know, just so we can have real talk. And the guys, you know, we loved it. You know, guys were opening up. You know, it was a place where they could get support, where they could get accountability, where they could get encouragement. And it was needed. And then when COVID hit, you know, I opened it up to the virtual community. And then we started to meet virtually because, you know, hardly anybody was moving during COVID. So now the organization, we've done some different things since then. But heading into 2024, we're looking to get back into, you know, the real talk sessions again because men need that space.
That's dope. If you guys are just not joining us, I am talking with Reginald or Reggie Gant out of Baltimore, where we are talking about a man with faith and family and serving our community. Remember that you can also listen to this podcast. You can watch it on YouTube, but you can listen to it on iamshatoria.podbean.com along with all of our other platforms. And so as we are talking about the serving of the community and getting back, what changes have you seen in the community with this program?
Yeah, it's been amazing. I've literally seen grown men, you know, men that were old enough to be my dad's age or older, cry. I've literally, you know, we've been a part of conferences, you know, where I've gotten to share the platform and speak. And just I've seen trauma fall off of men. I've seen men begin to take steps towards healing, towards forgiveness, because they were carrying around unforgiveness in their heart all of these years. Their heart had got hard, it got cold, they were bitter. And, you know, by providing these spaces and these opportunities to unpack those things, you know, in a safe manner amongst trusted and like-minded individuals, it's been amazing. You know, in the community, I've also been a part of workforce development programs. So my background by day, Shatori, is I'm in HR. I've been in HR since 2006. Okay. So I've personally helped over 1,000 people, you know, with their resumes. I've helped over 1,000 people help them land employment, whether it's full-time, part-time, spare time. So we've done workforce development programs. We do community cleanup efforts. I mean, the change has been amazing, you know, and I thank God to be used as a vessel. I could talk about it for a long time, but I know we're limited on time.
No, it's actually dope. I think it's one of the most important things because I truly stand on men need a safe space. I stand on that. I am a mom to a African-American male. I am a wife to an African-American male. I am a grandmother to an African-American male. So it is important. I am a mentor to African-American males. I feel that they need a safe space. And I also feel that women need training. And this may not go over well with a lot of women, but I'm being honest. As women, we need training into understanding what men need. And unfortunately, we're not going to get that just from, TV and everything else. It's literally a conversation with Christ and understanding that, one, men are the lead. One of the things that I've had to tell females, and I'm very blunt about it, that when relationship starts, I always ask people, well, how was his past? How was his upbringing? And that doesn't matter. Yes, it does. His upbringing do matters, because if you have a male who's been in a home and they've never been taught to wash a dish or something, you're going to get mad because by the time he gets to you, he still don't know how to wash a dish. Well, he's grown. He should know. No. That's like with children. I see my grandson. My grandson is 4 months old. He doesn't have to be taught things. I can't have an expectation of my grandson going out here doing anything without the teaching of how to do it. And to me, we are setting people up for failure in relationships. And as a mom to a girl and a boy, I'm very clear to both of them. You both got to know how to do A, B, C, and D. But at the same time, the expectation needs to be understood. You're going to get with somebody who don't know what you know. Mm-hmm. You can't have an expectation for them to treat you a certain way. Mm-hmm. If the streets is teaching them, you might have a problem. And the unfortunate part about the teaching is we have a lot of parents who are, one, young. Two, they're still in a mindset of what society is. Yeah. And so when I see parents partying with these kids, what are you expecting when your children get into these relationships? Like, I'm looking at you. You are a man that's in a blended family, handling in business. Unfortunately, we have youth who see that and go, oh, that's whack.
Mm-hmm.
That's stupid. Yeah. I won't do that. But you can get in a relationship and be with a girl for 7-8 years with an expectation of, no, we ain't getting married. I mean, we good like we are. Why?
Because that's what you've seen.
Yep. And so I think, you know, your organization is important because I feel like men, young boys have gotten lost.
Yeah, yeah.
They get overshadowed. And like you said, y'all are one of the most, I don't want to say becoming extinct because people playing games.
Yeah.
But that's where we're at.
I get you.
And it's not just police brutality. It's literally within ourselves. We're killing ourselves over a conversation.
Yeah.
Remember back in, you know, I wasn't born. I'm an 82 baby.
Yeah.
70s, when they fought, it was a dance battle. We about to dance this out. Let's shoot for a second. Now, you can barely send your kids to school because somebody's going to fight and we're gonna blow a school up. Are we going to go?
Absolutely.
It's not what it used to be. So I think it is important for individuals to see what you're trying to do, embrace what you're trying to do. And the biggest thing is just accept change.
Yeah.
And so if anybody, I had this, let me see. Yes, contact information is there for you to join this community. Now, do y'all travel? Do y'all travel?
I can travel as needed. You know, I'm located in Baltimore. You know, a lot of what I do here is in my home city. I'm always up to do something virtual, but I definitely travel, you know, if the opportunity presents itself, if it makes sense. And let me tell you one of the reasons why I'm actually looking forward to traveling anyway, Shatoria, in 2024, this book right here, you just said something that was critical. This book is called Male Pain, Breaking Your Chains to Achieve Greatness. And you talked about the importance of, you know, women needing training, for example. Mm-hmm. I specifically wrote this book targeting men because, you know, male pain is an issue that we need to talk about. There was a definition of manhood and masculinity that we grew up with that we need to unlearn and relearn. I talk about that in the book. I talk about how men need affirmation to replace the pain. I talk about how men mask and hide behind their pain. So this book is targeted specifically towards men, but I'll tell you something that blessed my life. My oldest auntie, the matriarch in my family, she's close to like 75. She might be 75 or 76. She bought a copy of the book just to support. And she read it cover to cover. I actually didn't think that anybody in my family would, you know, for some reason. But, you know, they always celebrate with words, but they don't actually, you know, follow through. But my oldest auntie, she read the book. She called me up. She was crying. She said the book was so good because she wished that she would have had it when she was a wife before she divorced. She was like, there were so many things that you said that women needed to hear. She was like, I wish that I would have known these things when I was a younger wife. She said, you shared so many things that I wish that I knew when I was a mother a long time ago, because she had a child, you know, that tried to commit suicide. So she called me up in tears. And she said that this book is something that the world needs to hear because it's not just for men. Women need to understand what men are going through. And she said, I actually now have an inside peek behind the curtain because of this book. And she was like, I just wish that I had it a long time ago, because maybe I could still be married to my prior husband. You know, maybe my family could still be here intact, but you know, I didn't know what I didn't know.
No, so, I'm what's the name of that book again? Because I'm writing.
Yeah, it's called Male Pain, Breaking Your Chains to Achieve Greatness. And it's on Amazon. It's on my website. But yeah, this is, to me, this is going to be what changes men globally. Because in every community, guess what? Fatherlessness is a huge issue. It's not just in the Black community.
Yes.
It's a global concern. Men are not there the way that they used to be. And as a result of that, the young boys are growing up with anger, and the young girls are growing up looking for attention in different places. And I talk about in the book the impact that a male's presence or absence makes in their family, whether they know it or not. I mean, just your presence alone, you automatically position yourself and your family to be, you know, in a greater tax bracket. You know, educationally, your children can be on track. That's just your presence. That's not even you being hands-on just yet. So, I mean, I unpack it all. But, yeah, I'm looking forward to traveling, you know, if the opportunity arises, if it makes sense. If I can get before some males and some men and women, honestly, in 24, you know, and begin to share, you know, how this topic is important and how it needs to be discussed, I'm all in.
Well, definitely.
And I want to float you a copy, too, so I'll get you.
Yeah, because I'm over here like, look here. Yeah. And I would love to make that as part of our must reads for 2024 also, because I think that is absolutely important. If you guys are just not joining, I am speaking with Reginald Gant Jr. About serving the community, a man with faith in the family. But he just hit us with, he got a whole book about male pain, which is crazy. And I love your aunt being so transparent. Yeah. Because a lot of women don't know how to communicate with their spouses because we don't understand how a man think.
Yeah.
And one of the things about women, we assume. We don't ask questions, we assume. And I say that because as a woman, you know, my husband, I know he's carrying the world. And his mindset, his responsibility is taking care of me. So I'm really big about reading the vibe, reading his space, reading where he's at for today. It took years, but I got it. You know, I understand it now. And I'm like, okay, I know how to fight with the word of God now when need be type of situations. I'm like, okay, all right, Satan, I see you acting up, okay. And I'm learning that the men are carrying spirits that we are women are not. They carry things we do not carry.
Heavy.
And a lot of women, it does this.
Yeah.
It goes overhead because we're not willing to see it. In our mindset, what I've seen a lot, especially from a lot of younger women, and they try to explain why they're by themselves, it is that way because of the fact of this is how they should be. This is how they should be. This is how they should be. But that is not reality. When you sit back and I would say this. One, I caught a rude awakening one day. I was watching Steve Harvey show. And a young lady stood up and she said, you know, I'm ready to be married. My boyfriend's taking his time. I don't understand. We talked about this. And I never forget the response. He asked her the question. And you could tell she was tiptoeing around it. And she was like, what? He asked her. He says, well, okay, you're ready. She was like, yeah. He said, what was your goals before you was like you were ready? And she said, oh, you know, I was going to have this, this, and this. I'm ready. Okay. What is his reason for saying that he's not ready yet? Oh, well, he's trying to make sure he has this particular job, this amount of money to make sure this can be taken care of. This can be taken care of. He said, okay. And she was like, but the problem is like, okay, it'll come. He goes, I'm confused. You okay with getting what you need, but you're looking down on him because he wants to be established. Mm. He wants to make sure he can provide for you
before
we say I do. Yeah. You okay with him coming in broke to come back in to say, I can't believe you ain't got no money and this, this, and this. And she was like, no, I really wouldn't do that. He goes, oh, but you would.
You would.
Because you're not hearing him now when he's saying, it's not that I don't love you. It's not that I don't care about you. I need to be able to provide for you. Mm. And he literally told her, you putting a Black man down for doing what he is supposed to do, which is providing for you, and you're upset because he's not moving at the speed you desire. And I promise you, that day I had a whole new insight when it came down to Steve Harvey. I said, oh.
Yeah, we can have a whole conversation around that. Yeah, you know, and Black men, you know, we catch it harder than anybody else. You know,
absolutely.
That's a word that's tossed around. It's called unconditional love, you know, and a lot of people say that women have that, right? Mothers have that towards their children, unconditional love, right? Quote unquote.
Yeah.
Right. But let's be realistic for a moment. Men will always be loved with conditions. Mm. There's always going to be a condition attached to a male because you're going to be conditioned to provide. You're going to be conditioned to protect. You're going to be conditioned to lead.
Yeah.
And if you can't do any of those things or some of those things, guess what? The love that you receive, it's not going to be unconditional. It's going to be based upon you meeting certain conditions. So, you know, men have it hard, you know, and I love to have these conversations openly, you know, but I also love to have these conversations with just us males in the room, you know, because men need that opportunity to get all of their inside emotions out. You talked about those spirits. Men walk around with spirits, the spirit of disappointment, the spirit of depression, the spirit of self-doubt. Men walk around with fear, but guess what? I can't walk around acting like I'm afraid and fearful all day long in front of my wife and my children. Number one, you know, it's going to alarm her. And now she's going to be worried about, you know, what she can be doing, which is going to stop her from focusing on what she needs to focus on. And then secondly, you know, what message am I sending to my children? You know, so we have to have private conversations, you know, as men behind the scenes, you know, guess what, fellas, brothers, kings, you know, this is what I'm facing, but I'm afraid, you know, and we kick that around and we talk about it. And what I love is that we come up with ideas, you know, we have the support, we hold men accountable to do the things that they say that they want to do, but also to face their fears, you know, in a safe and healthy manner.
I love it. I am, I saw your email, so I'm behind. So all my listeners, I'm gonna work it. We gonna figure this out because he got little children. We're gonna figure out getting him and his wife to this conference in October.
I would love it.
Because I think that is very important, and that's what that is very important. And I'm really big about why I need that at the conference, because at the conference we are speaking. I want men to be by themselves. I want men to be by themselves because I feel like they need that moment of aloneness, transparency, realness, and to be able to be honest and open about who they are, what they need without repercussions. Yes. So for all those that are listening, yes, we have the I Am Forgiveness and Freedom Retreat, October 13th through the 15th here in San Antonio, Texas. And I will make sure I get you that information because I want your books there. As a matter of fact, I need to gift your book because I feel like it needs to be. And as a matter of fact, I want to read the book. I need to take some notes.
I would love for you and your husband to read it together.
Absolutely. I would love to talk about it. I want to read that because I want to learn. And here's the thing. I'm really big about. It's always good to learn. I never get too old to learn because I'd rather be able to learn. So as my daughter gets older and she starts to deal with things, I said, well, baby girl, this is why he feels this way, you know, talking to my students, because what we tend to forget, men go through things females go through. We tend to gloss over that. Men are sexually abused. They're mentally abused. They're verbally abused. Women, we're no different. But neither is men. The only difference is we get our healing a lot quicker because everything is sent for women. Men are forgot about it. Be quiet, handle your business, you're a man, you'll be all right. And I ain't gonna lie, this generation is very rude because when you have men come out and say, I've been through this, oh, I was molested, they look at them and go, what? Molested? And you not gay? You sure? That is the mindset. And so, no, this conversation is going to have to keep going. I cannot wait. I got to get you to San Antonio for sure, because I think that is imperative for the kingdom. Because at the end of the day, I think when we start to make changes within ourselves, the kingdom starts to rebuild in a way, and it becomes very strong. So, again, guys, I am here with Reginald Gant Jr., on our today episode of I Am Shatoria, where we've been talking about a man with faith and family and serving the community. And we got into a lot of things. He already mentioned to you guys about his book. And look here, you got to get his book off of Amazon, Male Pain. So make sure you get your copy, read, take notes. Y'all know I'm big on that. Get your note, take it in. This is his contact information, serveformen.com. You're able to join the community, ask questions. I know there's men out there looking like, oh, I need to talk to him. And he's already saying, look, he's open to virtual, have a conversation. Absolutely. Don't be afraid to step out and do what you got to do. So before we leave, is there anything that you want to tell that you, whatever, what's a good tip you would tell someone that is listening that is, that can help them throughout the day, even if it's for a moment?
Yeah. So, you know, I have a mantra. So, you know, my favorite word, you know, we talked about it at the top of the show, serve, mm-hmm. right? That was what God laid on my heart. So I broke serve down 3 different ways, you know, and I definitely want you to maybe, you know, share this with your folks when you talk to them. Every day that you wake up, you should strive to serve, right? So that stands for seek excellence, respect, value every day. Every day that God allows you to open your eyes, you should be chasing after excellence, right? You should respect those 24 hours that he's giving you because you're not guaranteed to get another one. And the V is for value. You should be adding value every day. So things and people, we tell our children all the time, things and people should be better after an encounter with you, right? Because you showed up. But then I also have another acronym for serve, and that stands for, and you'll love this one, the S is for speak it. So the Bible says we speak those things that are not as if they were, mm-hmm. right? The E stands for expect it. After you speak those things that are not as if they were, you expect it, mm-hmm. right? Expect God to show up and show out. The R is for receive it. So you've spoken it, now you've expected it, and guess what? God is now giving it to you. Receive it with grace, right? Mm-hmm. The V stands for value it. So you spoke it, you've expected it, you've received it. Now it's your obligation to value what God has given you. And then the E stands for empower someone else with it. So that's how you serve.
Okay. I hope y'all heard what he's saying. All right. He said what he said. Well, Reginald, thank you so much for joining us today. Oh my God, this is the dopest conversation I've had in a while. So I really appreciate you. And so don't worry, guys, you guys will see him again as we get ready to roll out. Do remember, please go online again. You can see me on YouTube and all the wonderful platforms you see below. Do know that I love you. And as I always, always say, because y'all know I am absolutely extra special in every way possible, but we walk in love, we live fearlessly, and we have a whole lot of faith. You know, that's how we operate around here. We got a whole lot of faith, and that's just how we go. All right, so love you, and I mean it, and talk with you guys later.